You know, look, they brought Dez Bryant in last year for a reason. There's something that they know they're lacking. Whoever comes in has to be kind of that physical, tough guy. Thinking about Baltimore and what is needed, I would probably lean towards Bateman. I think this is the most volatile year that we'll ever see when it comes to the draft. There are a lot of us on the outside who are speculating and talking about prospects who really have no idea how it's going to shake.
Welcome into the lounge, our all-star lineup of draft analyst experts. We don't want to just call them analysts. These are analyst experts.
Yes.
Just made that up. But it continues. It continues today with Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network. Bucky, you see him all the time this time of year. You can get him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks, and he's the host, co-host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with another friend of the lounge, Daniel Jeremiah. So, Garrett, strap up, buddy, because we're ready for more draft talk.
Look, we're going back to back to back. You know, you don't typically see the back to back to back home runs, you know, in baseball. How often do you see that? That's almost never. But to go Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, and Bucky Brooks, we're bringing it with these last three guests to get Ravens fans ready for the upcoming draft. And this is fun. It's a lot of fun. So we're going to jump right into that interview with Bucky.
We're happy to be joined by Bucky Brooks, who's an NFL Network analyst, and you can follow him at Bucky Brooks. Bucky's also the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah, who we recently had on the lounge just last week. So, Bucky, let's jump in here to, I think, kind of conversation number one around Baltimore in the draft, and it's always around wide receiver. And it seems like there's not really a consensus about kind of who the better guy is between Terrace Marshall Jr. and Rashad Bateman, who are two targets that have been widely projected to Baltimore at number 27. Who do you like between those two guys and why?
I mean, it's a really interesting debate, because when you talk about Terrace Marshall versus Rashad Bateman, you talk about guys who are very, very comparable in terms of their talent level. Terrace Marshall is a guy that kind of came on like gamebusters this year, stepping in for Ja'Marr Chase. You saw the production that he's able to put up. Then when you think about just his height, weight, speed, his playmaking ability, his ability to play with physicality and toughness while also displaying explosiveness, there's a lot to like about him. Rashad Bateman, to me, is one of the most complete receivers in the draft. You talk about a guy that can play in the slot. He can play out wide. He's a terrific route runner. He has some special catch and run ability that would lead you to believe that he's a guy that you just want to get him the ball in space and let him go to work. I don't know if you could go wrong with either guy, but I'm thinking about Baltimore and what is needed. I would probably lean towards Bateman, just because Bateman to me is more of your classic traditional number one receiver that you would see year after year after year.
Interesting. And do you think that either, both would be worth a pick, you know, a first round pick? The Ravens are sitting there at 27. Do you like the possibility of them taking one of those guys there? And if they're there, are they worth the pick there?
Yeah. I mean, I think the worthiness comes from how they play and what happens after you get them into the building. I think Bateman and Marshall are both worth being selected in the first round. I think the main thing that you have to do if you're Baltimore, you have to look at your team and figure out what do you need on the perimeter. I would say you need more size on the outside, and not just size like a big hulking playmaker, but like a big physical player that can really occupy the number one position. And, you know, look, they brought Dez Bryant in last year for a reason. There's something that they know they're lacking. I would think whoever comes in as the primary number one receiver has to be kind of that physical tough guy that kind of fits in with the rest of the squad.
Interesting. Another guy with a Ravens connection certainly is Amari Rodgers. You know, he's the son of T. Higgins, the Ravens' new wide receivers coach. Mm-hmm. What's your scouting report on Amari? Because we could get it from his dad, but he's a little biased.
Yeah, no, he's talented. Amari's a big-time playmaker. Amari is in the mold of what I call these guys that are like wingbacks. If you go back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s when people were running the wing tee, the wingback was half running back, half wide receiver. Amari Rodgers fits into that mold, because the best stuff that he does outside of running routes over the middle of the field is, man, just put the ball in his hands. Bubble screens, quick routes, jet sweeps, all those things, he can handle that. Now, that's a dimension that we haven't seen added to the Ravens offense, surprisingly, because of the amount of run that he utilized. We haven't seen the sideline to sideline stuff to make the defense run. So then they can attack vertically, but Amari Rodgers could certainly add a dimension to the offense as a slot receiver with big time ability.
So Bucky, I want to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball and get your perspective on one of the pass rushers who's been mocked to the Ravens in a number of mock drafts. And that's Azeez Ojulari. What do you make of him, and how would he fit if the Ravens were to take him?
He's a natural fit in their 3-4 defense. He's a fit because he has explosive first step quickness and burst. He's a little bit of a one-trick pony as a pass rusher because he relies heavily on his speed to bend the corner and round it and get to the quarterback. That said, there's nothing wrong with having a fastball that's unhittable. And his fastball, when dialed up and going, it is problematic. As he continues to maybe add a counter pitch to his repertoire, he could be a problem. He could be a difference maker off the edge. In Baltimore, I think it works. It works because Wink is going to send a bunch of pressures and simulated pressures that create some one-on-one opportunities. And he is good enough to win one-on-one when he's matched up on the right, when he's matched up on an offensive tackle.
Who do you think is the best fit for what the Ravens do at that edge rusher between him, Kwity Paye, Jalen Phillips, you know, Jason Owe? Who's the best fit for the Ravens? Because any of those guys could be there.
You know, the Ravens have played with a bunch of different style guys at edge. You know, like if you go back and you think about Terrell Suggs, when Sizzle was coming out, Sizzle was a defensive end at Arizona State. His hand was in the dirt. And they made it work, even though they classified him as an outside linebacker. With that in mind, I think the best of the group is Jalen Phillips, because Jalen Phillips is an explosive athlete with maybe the most polished hand skills of the group. The most explosive athlete would probably be a tie between Kwity Paye and Jason Owe. Owe is a terrific freak athlete, but you don't see the production that you normally would like to see is somebody that you're saying is going to be a pass rusher. You can't have a season without sacks and say that you're a pass rusher. So he is more of a developmental prospect in my mind. Kwity Paye is kind of in that same vein. He gives you a lot of activity and explosiveness when you watch the tape, but you don't see him take the quarterback down. And so I don't know what to do with that. The guy that is kind of left out but is interesting would be Gregory Rousseau and how they view him in the building. I would say Gregory Rousseau is a guy that reminds me a lot of Jason Pierre-Paul when Jason Pierre-Paul was coming out of South Florida. If you go and you actually look at their pro day numbers, they are exactly the same. And so, I mean, look, none of these guys are guys that I would say are Chase Young types that, you know, hey, when they come in, they're going to give you double-digit sacks. I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to mitigate the risk by banking on the traits that typically translate to that kind of sack production and success.
The two guys who seem like the most often mocked ahead of the Ravens at that spot are Kwity Paye and Jalen Phillips. Do you think that they're both gone, or do you think that, given, you know, some of the downsides on the two of them, that one of them could end up falling to the Ravens? I mean, I think one thing I always try to look at with the draft is who's going to fall, who's going to be a guy that ends up, the Ravens end up getting a guy who's the 15th best player on their board at number 27. And it seems like maybe one of those guys falls into that camp. What do you think?
I think this is the most volatile year that we'll ever see when it comes to the draft. I think there are a lot of us on the outside who are speculating and talking about prospects. We really have no idea how it's going to shake, because it's unlike anything that we've ever experienced. Like with COVID protocols, where you've had some guys opt out, some guys played a full season, some guys played a half a season, without a combine, where you don't get everyone there, you can't see guys work out back to back to back to be able to kind of sort the clusters. And then with a limited amount of pro days, I think a lot of people are flying blind. And so I think you have to be prepared if you're a team to expect anybody to fall in your lap and to be able to pounce when one of those guys that you have highly graded is there. Because I think the draft board is always a bit of a snowflake in every room. But, man, this year is bananas, because when you talk to people, the variances that you hear on prospects is greater than at any other time that I can remember since I started doing this.
That is interesting. For comps, just to wrap up the pass rusher talk, is Ojulari like Yannick Ngakoue, and then Kwity Paye who would be his kind of comp?
You know, it's funny because both of those guys are kind of similar to Ngakoue in terms of when Ngakoue was coming out of Maryland. He was dynamic athlete, terrific in terms of stop start quickness and explosiveness, but he was a bit, I mean, as you saw this year, he's still a bit of a one trick pony. Like he's all speed and effort. He's not necessarily refined in those things. And so when you have guys like that, you're going to have these wide swings in terms of production 1 year versus the other year, because they don't have other tools in the toolbox that will enable them to get home. I think putting them in that Yannick Ngakoue category is probably right for both of them, because both of them kind of play that way. They're kind of high active, twitchy, explosive pass rushers that are still trying to figure out how to really, really rush the passer.
All right, so Bucky, I'll give you this one on the way out. Who's the pick for you? Who's Eric DaCosta going to take at 27?
This is going to blow up your theory based on what we talked about. I believe they're going to pick an offensive tackle. I believe they will be smart and wise to pick Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. With the issues that you might be having with Orlando Brown and with them seeming to double down on how they want to play, I think what they have to do is assemble a quintet of people up front that can throw guys out the club. When the Baltimore Ravens are at their best, it's because they're able to dominate on the run game and move bodies off the line of scrimmage. Their issues, while they all point back to Lamar Jackson in the passing game, the reason why they can't pass effectively is because the offensive line is limited in terms of how they can play. They play better going forward than backing up. And so they can either say, we're going to fortify our strength with the way that we run and we're just going to pummel people, or getting the pretty pieces on the edge, and which has been the focus for so long, like the wide receivers and those things. But really, at the end of the day, the game is won or lost at the line of scrimmage. And when the Ravens have struggled, it's because they haven't been able to block the people up front. And so with Orlando Brown talking about wanting to be traded and Ronnie Stanley coming back, you saw that they've added pieces inside in the offseason signing free agents. If they get another offensive tackle that allows them to run it like they want to run it, by also being solid in pass protection, you'll see what you want to see from Lamar Jackson in the passing game. Their issues have really been the leakage up front when it comes to playing, I guess, the talented teams in the postseason, because that's the only time it's been a problem. It's only been a problem in the postseason, and that's when you play the best teams.
Right. Interesting.
Cool. Well, thank you, Bucky. That's really good stuff. Everybody out there listening, make sure you check out Bucky on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks, and definitely listen to the Move the Sticks podcast, which Bucky hosts alongside Daniel Jeremiah. We really appreciate your time, man.
No problem, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, great stuff from Bucky. You know, I'm interested in the offensive tackle in round one. That is interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, Bucky didn't have a whole lot of time. He had another engagement to get to. But I kind of wanted to ask, like, if the Ravens do keep Orlando Brown Jr. and then they draft Tevin Jenkins in round one, like, where does he play as a rookie? You know, because there ain't a tackle opening.
Well, could you do the JO?
So, I mean, can he? Right. Could he slide in at left guard and then you move Bozeman to center?
That's a big boy line right there.
Woo! That is a nice offensive line.
Well, that's the thing. Is this the, like, I often use the draft with Marlon Humphrey, the 2016 draft with Marlon Humphrey, where, like, there was no talk about him. But then afterwards, you, like, take a step back and you're like, how did nobody talk about this great corner from Alabama and how he could be the pick there? Like, how did everyone miss that? There was like no buzz about that. And is that a possibility this year where you say, okay, we know the Ravens are going to be a run heavy team. We know that Orlando Brown Jr. has asked for a trade, and whether that trade happens this year or not, then Orlando's probably going to be gone after next season. You know, right. So it's a move for the long term, for sure, and potentially could help you in the short term if he can play, if you feel like he can play guard.
Well, right, and the other thing is, by the way, it was 2017
okay,
for Marlon.
Thank you.
But the other thing, I'm always here to correct you, Garrett.
Well, there aren't many opportunities.
Ready,
it happens
ready
so rarely, so that when you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it.
Oh, pounce, baby, pounce on it. You know, the interesting thing is that it could really kind of... It could address two spots with one pick, right? I mean, if you want to upgrade center, also, right, now you pick Tevin Jenkins, and then Bozeman slides over, so you've not only maybe improved at left guard mm-hmm. and given yourself the right tackle of the future, but now you've also improved center without having to make a draft pick at center. Because you move
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, your line, I mean, just a huge offensive line at that point, too. So, like, now right. this is...
So, is it that now, this gets me thinking, is it better to take a tackle earlier than a center? Like, mm-hmm. we've spent time talking about Creed Humphrey and Landon Dickerson. Why draft a center when you ultimately need a tackle next year?
Right.
So, you take the tackle and then move Bozeman. And put the tackle in at guard this year. Makes a lot of sense. Not gonna lie.
It does make a lot of sense. Now, you know, you obviously have to get a guard tackle that you feel good about their versatility, you know, to basically, they're mm-hmm. ultimately a right tackle, but you feel good about their ability to play left guard, initially. So, you know, you gotta have that right. versatility to do so, but a lot of these guys can do that. I mean, Tyree Phillips did that last year. He never played guard and he played guard and played tackle, you know, he's playing a little bit of everything. So,
yeah,
and he's a third round pick. So if you're getting a guy in the first round, you think there probably is the ability to do that. So, yeah, that is interesting. That is a really interesting possibility, and I wonder if that's going to throw some mock drafts for a loop here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the outside the box pick. I think not crazy. I mean, you know, I think safety and cornerback would be even more outside the box. I think a tackle is certainly a possibility. And if not in round one, I think that there's definitely some possibilities in round two. You know, I mean, Mel Kiper talked about it with the Liam Eichenberg. Jalen Mayfield, who is a tackle that's been kind of projected to be possibly a first-round pick, he could be there in the second round. It seems like there's a lot. I think I saw this tweet from Daniel Jeremiah the other day that there's a lot of indecision about the tackles and how they are ranked. And it's... you know, the guy from Alabama that we were talking about just a little bit ago.
Alex Leatherwood.
Alex Leatherwood is another one who, right, he could be first, he could be second. He, you know, Daniel Jeremiah said some teams even view him as a third round prospect, which I always read as, all right, late second. So, you know, I think it could, a second round tackle wouldn't be surprising.
Well, this is what Bucky's talking about, and this was the same answer that we got from Mel Kiper. It was the same answer that we got from Daniel Jeremiah, which is that the volatility of this draft is probably going to be unlike anything we've seen. Mel's been doing this for a long time. He called it the most mysterious draft that he's ever covered. Bucky Brooks is talking about how no one knows how this draft is going to go, and no one has a consensus on how these players are. The other thing, too, that like I don't think anyone's really saying, but this definitely happens, is that like there's certainly an element of groupthink, whether it's amongst scouts or whether it's amongst the media. Scouts kind of all go and they're watching the same practice and they're watching the same game. We do it when it's media. You know, the media's out there in training camp and you're standing out there and you're chit-chatting because you're standing out in practice for 3 hours and you say, oh, so-and-so looks pretty good. Like, yeah, he does look pretty good. He's been coming on strong. And then all of a sudden you read the reports and every single reporter out there says, so-and-so is having a strong camp. Like, that happens across the right. board. And so there wasn't that. There wasn't those casual conversations amongst scouts and media members and all that during all these different...
Not as many, certainly.
Yeah, not, you know, they happen to an extent at some of these pro days, but they're not all hanging out at the combine having those conversations at the hotel bar. And so I think that is part of the reason there's uncertainty amongst what this draft is going to look like.
Yeah. Well, you're an expert in hotel bars, so you would know.
That's my area of expertise. Other guys are talking about football, you know, being experts in that. I'm an expert in the hotel bar for sure.
Are you changing your guy from Marshall to Bateman, by the way?
Well, Bucky basically is just blowing up everything that I'm talking about. He likes Bateman more than Marshall. He likes an offensive lineman in the first round more than the defensive players. So... He is throwing a wrench. It's funny. After each of these guys that we've talked with, I've come away. It's like the favoritism that you show somebody after an interview. You do an interview and all of a sudden it's your favorite guy. It's what you do. Every single guy we had on the podcast last year, undrafted free agents, they were going to make the team. Remember
when are we going to bring Bronson Reichsteiner back on?
Bronson Reichsteiner on, and you said he was going to make the 53-man roster, and I don't think he made it to training camp. So,
I said he was going to be a Hall of Famer.
so, So it's easy to fall into that trap. But after each of these guys, I felt like, okay, that makes sense. I could see offensive linemen in the first round. Okay, I could see Marshall being the pick in the first round. Oh, I could see the Ravens going with the pass rusher. I could see it being Jason Owe. Jeremiah makes the case for that. Like, you start to fall into that trap every single time. So I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. That's the long answer. I haven't made up my mind yet.
There's a lot of moving pieces, man, and that's why Eric DaCosta gets paid the big bucks to put this whole puzzle together. And I can't wait. The draft is right around the corner. It's my favorite time of the year. I am very sad. I'm sad that we're not going to get, like, I thought the experience last year with the cameras in the houses of all these different guys was pretty good. We're not going to get Bill Belichick's dog this year. They should bring Bill Belichick's dog into the draft room. Absolutely. if the Patriots haven't thought to do that, they got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we go,
we need to get some birdhouses in our draft room.
I don't even remember Harbaugh. You keep talking about Harbaugh's birdhouses. I don't even remember that from last year.
Oh, the birdhouses were epic. Plus, it's springtime. It's time to check out the birds. Anyway, thank you to Bucky Brooks for coming on. A lot of really good draft talk. We'll have more. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks here before the draft, and we're really excited about it. As always, you can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Keep your antenna up for more podcasts and for our 7-round mock draft, which we will be releasing in the days leading up to the draft on BaltimoreRavens.com and on the app. It'll be on social media. Check all the different places. Okay, because this is the year where Garrett, I might go 7-for-7 this year.
You say it every year.
This is the year. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back with you probably later this week.